Hey there, it's Virginia. Listen, NHBR, word of mouth included, is supported by you, our listeners, to the tune of 40% of our annual revenue. It's what makes us what we are, and you can help. The support button is at the top of the page at nhpr.org. This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, Who's Afraid of Wonder Woman? The director of a film about the lone female superhero talks with us about why she's so necessary and so threatening. Plus, the papal enclave goes dark. We'll learn about the technology used by the Vatican to jam signals and prevent leaks. But first, the young and the jobless. The International Labor Organization, or ILO, announced last week that global unemployment has dipped to its lowest level since December of 2008. The numbers don't look nearly as promising for young people. An estimated 75 million people in the 15 to 24 range will be unemployed this year. The ILO warns that if these trends continue, a generation will be scarred by economic disadvantage. Mona Morshed is education director for the McKinsey Center for Government, which is studying youth unemployment, and co-author of the McKinsey report, Education to Unemployment, Designing a System That Works. Mona Morshed, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
McKinsey is a global company advising Fortune 500 companies and governments. So why the focus on youth unemployment? Where does it figure in?
The fact that the world has 75 million youth is a tremendous problem globally, and it is one of the problems of the world that we have not yet cracked. We would actually say that the state of the world's knowledge about how to solve education to employment today is where we were with school system reform over a decade ago. And so this is an issue that is of tremendous priority for the youth themselves, for parents, for society, and economically.
The survey found that there are three major stakeholders, youth, education providers, and employers, operating pretty much in silos, not necessarily connecting with other tracks. Could you help us understand the problem?
Sure. We very much see employers, providers, and youth living in parallel universes. So, for example, when we ask the question, to what extent are youth ready for the workforce? We had about 50% of employers and youth saying yes, and in contrast, we had over 70% of education providers saying yes. And in the U.S., that was even more extreme. It was 86%. So they see the world very differently. It's not to say that one is right and the other is wrong, but they just have very different perspectives.
What's driving them? I mean, employers, of course, are driven by the need to hire people with particular skills, educators on trying to educate people the best they can, youth, of course, getting the job. So how do they better connect with each other?
So multiple things. We found that, we were able to look at over 100 examples of successful education to employment solutions around the world. And we found that when it works, it's when literally education providers and employers walk into each other's worlds. And so what that means is that employers walk into the world of education providers and support in the shaping of standards and skills and curriculum, that they will even provide their own employees as faculty. In some cases, they even become education providers. In the case of education providers, they walk into the world of employers by offering classes at the job site. They will design programs that are up to 50% practicum. So it's a very different model of how to work with each other so that we don't have this parallel universe phenomena.
The report says that education to employment systems are failing for most employers and young people. I wonder if that's kind of inherent when you have state-run schools, you know, educating kids, then thrust into the private sector with very different needs and very different standards. You talked about walking into each other's worlds. How do you bridge that kind of divide?
Interestingly, what we found is that there is not much difference in terms of the outcomes of public versus private. What is very much the case is that when you look at the different segments of youth and the different segments of employers, we need very different kinds of interventions. So we often talk about the youth as though they are monolithic, but we actually found that there is a segment of youth that if they had better information about job openings, wages, career trajectories, they would make much better decisions about what and where to study. There are other segments of youth who are very much a product of socioeconomic status and feel that they cannot lift themselves to another path. And so they need a lot of mentoring and coaching and literally a swarm effect in order to be able to reach their full potential. So different types of youth need different interventions. Same thing with employers. We found that there are about a third of employers who are actually getting the results that they want from the talent market. But the rest are not. There's another quarter that are struggling. So they're trying to do something, but they're not very effective. And then there are others that are just not doing anything at all. So we have to get beyond the labels of the youth and the employers. And then there are very clear implications for interventions that work.
We're talking about rising youth unemployment numbers globally and some suggested ideas for lowering those numbers with the McKinsey Center for Government's Education Director, Mona Morshed. Mona, are young people prepared for work now?
So it's important to actually look at and see what the youth themselves say. So only about 50% of youth would say that they are prepared for the workforce. Only about half of youth would say that they are well-informed when making educational choices. When you talk to employers, which is the other side of the equation, there are about 40% of employers who would say that a lack of skills is the main reason for entry-level vacancies. We also find that half of youth would say that their post-secondary education did not improve their chances of finding a job. So there's a clear mismatch, not only in terms of expectations, but also in the belief that the path that they're on is going to achieve success.
I'm thinking about that idea of sort of walking into other worlds and wondering how schools and employers can implement those practices on a much larger scale. You know, when you're talking about, you know, needing to employ 50,000 people to set up a factory or something like that, how does that work?
We found a set of examples from around the world that have been able to achieve scale. They are very few, but where we see it working is, for example, when you have education providers who have set up relationships with employers where they almost pre-guarantee the job, such that it's very clear that the employer comes and says, you know, I'm trying to fill these vacancies. Help me to design a program for this type of skill and role. And then the education provider and the employer works together in order to be able to do that. And these skill programs might just take a few months. It might take a year. But the point is that it's based on the modules and the skills that will be most important for the job at hand. And then throughout the career of this person, they then have top-ups of these skill modules in order to be able to progress to the next role.
Any other big conclusions, Mona, before we close in just a minute?
Just the final thing I would say is that, you know, I can count on one hand the number of examples that we saw that are achieved at scale. So the key issue is how do we get these interventions to work for the large numbers of youth that need them around the world? And the fact is that today the world has not yet cracked this issue.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's a start.
Thank you.
Mona Morshed is Education Director for the McKinsey Center for Government. She co-authored the report Education to Employment, Designing a System that Works. And you can head on over to wordofmouthradio.org to read the report for yourself.